Hello and welcome to an express episode of the Brooklyn Buzz podcast presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always on the Brooklyn Buzz, my guy, Jack. And Jack, we have some breaking news today. The Nets make their first trade of the season. Trevor Booker to Philadelphia 76ers for Jahlil Okafor, Nick Stauskas, and the 2019 New York Knicks second round pick. Thoughts on the trade? Perfect. What were your emotions when you read this?
I was shocked, in love. It was a range of emotions, Nicholas. It's like waking up on Christmas morning and find out you get like a new PS4, and then you've also got like new games to go with it and a controller. But then at the same time, you know, you lose your old Nintendo 64 that you've known and loved for years and years, and it's been so loyal to you. Because there's mixed feelings to go with this, because Trevor Booker has been such a great net guy. But the package that we got, you can't fault our guy Sean Marks, who we sung his praises on the Thanksgiving pod. So great work by the Brooklyn franchise yet again.
Yeah, honestly, I was like irrationally really happy. I didn't expect it, because we, like you said, we spoke about the Okafor trade in the past as well, about the Nets possibly picking him up. And I wasn't too excited, but now I just feel more excited. Now the Nets have number 2 and number 3 pick from the 2015 draft, Jahlil Okafor, D'Angelo Russell. And like you said, before we talk about the trade from the Nets perspective, let's give a shout out to Trevor Booker. Like you said, true pro in Brooklyn. He really is one of the guys that helped change the culture for the Nets. He played hard every night. He brought that energy. And like we talked about in a pod a few days ago, he got us that win in Dallas with his rebounding. So Booker, shout out to you. Thank you for everything you did for the team, and we'll definitely always appreciate you.
Yeah, those muscles. I'm just going to miss those muscles, Nick.
The flex.
Whenever he gets like that flex, those putback dunks. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to use the muscle emoji as much anymore. But, you know, Trevor Booker tweeted out only 30 minutes ago, "It's been real, Brooklyn. We'll always have nothing but love for you. Love my time in New York." And I'm sure those feelings are nothing but reciprocated from all Brooklyn fans, including ourselves.
Yeah, and it works out for Booker, too. He gets to go to a playoff team. Philly looks like they're almost a lock for the playoffs this year with the way Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are playing. So he gets to go there. He's an expiring contract anyways, and there was a good chance he wasn't going to come back to the Nets. So it really worked out. But let's talk about what we received in this deal. For, like I said, Trevor Booker's expiring contract, we received Jahlil Okafor, Nick Stauskas, and the Knicks 2019 second-round pick. Let's start with Okafor, who himself is an expiring contract, but he was the number 2 pick in the 2015 draft.
Yeah, the fact that we now have, like everyone's talked about, that Brooklyn doesn't have any draft picks. D'Angelo Russell, 2015. Jahlil Okafor, a first round in 2015. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, same year, late first round in 2015. Caris LeVert, the 20th pick in 2016. Jared Allen, the 22nd pick in 2017. We're building here nicely, Nick, and I don't know what the hell Sean Marks is doing and what school he went to, because I need to learn how his management skills, because he is an absolute savant.
Yeah, he is, and I think one of our OTG guys tweeted this out, Jay Christian. He said this seemed like a Spurs-type move, and that's the school that Sean Marks went to, Jack. He went to the Spurs School of Basketball, and they really taught him well. Like you said, we picked up all these young players. Like, the Nets situation was horrendous. We had Rondé as our one good young player. Nobody else on the team is even still on the team. So they really transformed this organization. And to bring in another piece like Okafor, who, you know, hasn't had a ton of success in the NBA. His rookie year was pretty good, but he definitely has talent. The Nets have done a lot with guys like Dinwiddie, guys like Joe Harris, who people thought might not even be NBA-type players. And I expect them to do a lot with Okafor, too. And it's not like there's nothing there to work with.
No, and like, if you can see what's already happening with a guy like Tyler Zeller, who has probably a fraction of the talent that Jahlil Okafor does, you implant, you know, some of his minutes, you take all of Mozgov's minutes, even maybe a couple of Jared Allen's minutes, you give those to Jahlil, he's going to develop. I'm really excited about the pick and roll chemistry he's going to develop with a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie. Yep. I think both of them is going to be really exciting. And even Caris LeVert, like, you know, there's going to be just some. And even Caris LeVert reuniting with an old college dude in Nick Stauskas. So, I don't know, the chemistry that we've raved about before in Brooklyn, Nick, it just seems to be growing and growing. And I think, you know, with Jahlil being an expiring contract as well, he's going to want to ball out. He said before, we all know the free jar movement, that, you know, all he wants to do is get out there and play. And I think he's really going to have that opportunity out in Brooklyn. You know, not a lot of our guys get above, you know, 30, 32 minutes, but in terms of our center rotation, that's one thing that we were very worried about. And we suggested this in earlier pods. So I think maybe the Nets hierarchy have been listening up.
Yeah, honestly. And it makes sense. And like you said, kind of you could see where Zeller has success in the pick and roll with Dinwiddie. You could see Okafor do that. He's a better finisher. He has a little bit more offensive talent down low. He has a few post moves. He can finish around guys. Also, I feel like D'Angelo and Okafor are going to have good chemistry just because they're from the same draft class. They have that chip on the chip on their shoulder. You tweeted out that picture on your Twitter account before, you know, them at the Team Rising USA. Star Challenge. Yeah, Rising Star game. So it's pretty exciting. And it's just exciting. I don't know why this like excites me so much, but having the number two and number three pick from the 2015 draft class just feels so great. Obviously, the other guys picked ahead of them and behind them have done really well too, but it's good for the Nets to just get some real talent in there.
Yeah, and the fact that we've also, Nets Daily has been pretty hot in their Twitter so far, but we've saved some cap space as well. So, you know, not that it was ever a worry, but if we want to take on some more bad contracts for some extra picks, whether it be second rounders or first rounders, a lot of people have been in hindsight criticizing the Allen Crabbe deal for the lack of any compensation in terms of even a second rounder. But I think, you know, this deal more than makes up for what Sean Marks has done. The fact that, you know, Brian Colangelo was so steadfast in the fact that they wanted something for Jahlil and just a second rounder straight up. But we got a second rounder from them, as well as Nick Stauskas, and we gave up an inspiring contract that saved a salary cap room. I think if you made a very good point, Nick, that I'm going to steal because I want to say I'm smarter than everyone, that the second round pick alone, if you look at all these three guys are expiring deals. So if all of them, you know, fizzle out and end up in China or Europe or whatever, the Nets still have a second round pick in 2019, which is the New York Knicks, which will be not too bad because, you know, unless Kristaps Porzingis plays 82 games in that season, they're not going to be that great. So I think it works well. And, you know, we can turn, if Sean Marks can turn this deal into something, then that second round pick could end up being, who knows?
Yeah, honestly, a second-round pick is kind of exciting too. But still on Okafor, let's go best-case scenario for Okafor, then we'll go worst-case scenario, and then we'll go what we actually expect. So best-case scenario for Okafor for the rest of the season on the Nets.
Best-case scenario, I reckon he can put up like an 18-9. I'm thinking, you know, he could push a double-double on most nights. He doesn't have, you know, some of the same skills as our other bigs. He's defensively lacking, so, you know, if he can get a block or two, that'd be certainly helpful. But I think where he's going to get his money is going to be on that offensive end, if he can put up some buckets down low. And I think if he learns to sort of kick it out, how, not that he's Joel Embiid, his former teammate in any stretch, but Joel has really learned how to kick it out to his perimeter shooters, maybe even a guy like Nick Skiasis, who I really like, and I think adds to our three-point shooting. So I think if we play, and you know, we've been mentioning our points in the paint, generally when they are quite high, we look good. And Jahlil is really good at that. So I'm excited about it. I reckon he can push an 18-9 double-double most nights. And I can't see why he can't. We said similar things about D'Angelo and he exceeded our expectations.
Yeah, I think best case scenario, I'm probably a little bit lower than you because I think that the Nets are still going to get minutes for Zeller and definitely for Jared Allen. So I don't know if Okafor would have the minutes to put up those. I think best case for me, if he could average even like 10 and 6 off the bench, I'd be pretty happy. Yeah. You know, just shooting a high percentage, like you said, giving us some paint scoring. I think the Nets looked at it as an issue. Something that Atlanta did to us when we lost at home on Saturday is they kind of locked down the paint a little bit, made it harder, and made us shoot contested shots. They had no rim protectors, but we don't have a ton of great inside finishers. So adding somebody like Okafor, who can give us a little bit of an inside presence, like I said, he hasn't dominated in the NBA, but he's been pretty good. And I believe on his career, 0 to 3 feet from the rim, he's shooting 68%. So that's not a bad number at all. Probably better than anybody else on the Nets shooting inside.
Yeah, and I remember back in the day, like when he first came into the season and he sort of got off to a real hot start, the starters were talking him up and some of his stats were just, you know, outstanding. Sort of like, you know, when they throw out those big names like an Oscar Robertson or Wilt Chamberlain, he's putting up like 20-10, 25-10, 25-15, albeit on that Sixers, those 1973 Sixers, which were certainly trash. But we've seen him put up numbers, Nick. I think he's going to be so motivated. If we thought D'Angelo Russell was motivated to play well, then boy, oh boy, are we going to be seeing something from Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, and I think the one thing with that motivation, not only will it help him ball out offensively, I think if defensively, if you're not that gifted of a player, you have to put in a lot of effort. And when you have that extra energy on defense, I think that's going to make an impact. Obviously, the Nets in their system, they're not going to play him if he doesn't play well, if it doesn't work out. Like you said, you know, the Nets still have a second round pick, so there's really nothing to lose. But worst case scenario for Okafor?
Worst case scenario is that he fizzles out. You know, injuries might continue to plague him. He doesn't really have that much of a base. But he's said to be, you know, working really hard in the gym. So I don't think that that's going to be an issue. But in terms of point production, I reckon, you know, he's in single figures, less than 5 rebounds a game. But in all honesty, I can't see that happening just because even on a crappy 76ers team, he was able to put up decent numbers. And he's going to have opportunity. I think in our OTG group chat, Matt Chin, shout out to him, Gabe made a really good point about the fact, and I've seen this on SB Nation, the SB Nation Bulls fan page as well, why other teams didn't go hard after him, like the Chicago Bulls. What the Nets did in terms of the deal that they got, I'm sure plenty of other teams could have offered more, but Sean Marks continues to work his magic.
Yeah, and just shout out to Sean Marks. Like you said, we gave him a Thanksgiving episode. We were thankful for him, but he continues to work that magic and get us these young pieces. Worst case for me, like you said, I think he fizzles out, doesn't work out. But like I said, we still get the second round pick, so it doesn't really matter because Booker was expiring and I didn't think he was going to return.
Yeah.
Realistically, what do you expect from Okafor? What do you think is going to happen this year if you had to make a guess at a stat line? We're assuming he's coming off the bench. He's coming off the bench. Actually, I don't know what it could happen. Depends on how he plays.
Yeah, it's definitely dependent on how he plays. Tyler Zeller has been starting, and you'd assume for the time being that that's going to happen. Obviously, it's a bit crappy that we lose Booker in our road trip and we're down to some 10 players on the roster, so it's going to leave us a little bit weak in terms of rotations. But you know, it's all for the betterment of the team in the long run. But I'm thinking maybe a 12-6, 12-7, maybe. I think he's good enough to put those up even on 20 to 22 minutes a night. And I think his minutes only go up. And I think by the end of the season, he'll be playing 25 to 28 minutes. And I think he probably would have superseded at least Zeller in the rotation, if not Allen. I'm just hoping that there can be a nice balance between, you know, the real defensive and capabilities that Jared Allen has and the sort of relationship that he has with Caris LeVert in that second unit, and you know, Jahlil hopefully developing a nice tandem with Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo when he comes back as well.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. I would not be surprised at all if the Nets played Jared Allen more at the four. They played him a little bit at the four this season. If he can hit the three, like we mentioned the previous pod, like we said, he only hit one, but there still is that potential. Athletically, under the defensive end, they can hide him. There's plenty of guys they can hide somebody with that athleticism and that ability to defend on the perimeter, even being that big. So like you said, who knows? Maybe an Okafor and Allen pairing could work at some points because Allen could really help cover up for Okafor's deficiencies on defense. But I think regardless, what I want to see from Okafor this year is just a defense pickup. Just be smarter. You know, Tim Duncan wasn't the most athletic player ever that played defense. He was just super smart, high basketball IQ, and he knew how to use angles in his size. Something that you just want to see Okafor do. Obviously, I'm not saying I expect him to be Tim Duncan by any standard, but just try to steal some of the things that some of the great defenders do in the NBA. Realistically, though, this year, I think, like you said, I think double digits is expected, especially at the pace the Nets play, long as he's getting 20 minutes a game, and I think 6 rebounds. And I just want him to shoot over 50%. You know, a solid percentage from the field, and I'll be cool. Well, let's talk a little Nick Stauskas. I know you like him. Best case scenario for him and worst case scenario, and then realistic. We'll go through him quick, though.
Sauce Castillo, I'm hoping, you know, he can shoot. He can be like a Joe Harris light, maybe about 38% from three, which I think would be great, a bit above the league average. And, you know, had those hot nights where he might go off 15 or 20, you know, he gets 6 or 7 threes. But, you know, I'm just hoping he can just add to that three-point rotation because, you know, it's part of our motion. It's part of our system. So I'm looking forward to the hot sauce of Sauce Castillo.
Yeah, if he can bring some hot sauce, like you said, best case scenario, if it works out and he can light it up for three, it's another guy that we developed, and we know the Nets need three-point shooting regardless. So if it works out like that, that's best case. Worst case, doesn't work out, he's an expiring. See you later.
Yeah, just ship him off. You know, I'm sure he'll have plenty of offers out in China and Europe. But, you know, it's worth a flyer to get a guy like that. And the fact that where he's replacing someone like a Sean Kilpatrick, who doesn't really fit right now in terms of his play, Nick Stauskas, there's nothing but upside to him. Like with Jahlil Okafor, it's just two different guys that do have two completely different skill sets, but two very key skill sets to what the Nets run inside and out.
Yeah. Like you said, it's the skill sets that match, and just another nice move by Sean Marks getting him thrown in there. You know, he was kind of a throw-in piece, so it works out for the Nets. Realistically, what do you think he does this year? Me personally, I don't think he'll probably see many minutes unless somebody's banged up. They might bring him in a few times. But I think what the Nets have, they'll probably roll with that. And Kilpatrick's minutes will probably go to other guys or go to Whitehead.
Yeah, this talk, yeah, that's I'm thinking that's probably a good point as well, Nick. I think that we've had our injuries in terms of, you know, Crabs have missed with back soreness. Rondé's been missing. Damari's going to probably miss a game or two just due to his age and some of his lingering issues. So there's no reason to complain about an extra rotation guy, because the Nets, historically, you know, in our very short season so far, we've been needing bodies. And I'd rather have someone who can knock down a three than, you know, someone who's lumbering and is taking bad twos or is turning the ball over on a consistent basis. So hot sauce, hopefully, you know, 10 minutes a night would be nice. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, some jungle time threes. You know, there's anything we get from him is a bonus.
Yeah. Like you said, who knows? Maybe he could be like a Joe Harris or a Spencer Dinwiddie or even Sean Kilpatrick to an extent. Did work out last year. The Nets got the most probably out of him. So works out for that. And shout out to Kilpatrick, who played on the team last year, worked really hard to get in the NBA where he's at. It just didn't work out. Something seems off with his game. I'm not really sure what it is, but
yeah, I think he's going to work well, nicely, Nick. I reckon, you know, if someone takes a flyer on him, whether it's like someone who's just wanting some extra bench depth, whether it's a Washington or a Cleveland, he had one of the best moments of our season last year in that Clippers game where he just absolutely went wild and caused Doc Rivers to turn into the Hulk, which was fun. One of my favorite moments of the season. So nothing but love for Sean Kilpatrick, and I'm sure he'll find success wherever he goes. He's got the right mentality.
Yeah. Good luck to you, Sean Kilpatrick. But that wraps it up for the Brooklyn Buzz. Obviously, we're probably not going to see Okafor play or Stauskas play until the Nets get back in the States. Right now, they're in Mexico City. So good luck to the Nets tonight. Hopefully, they can get the win in OKC. They'll be a little shorthanded. And Jack, thank you for hopping on, and thank everybody for listening. Oh, and also, before I forget, you can listen to the Brooklyn Buzz on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and OTGBasketball.com. Go Nets!
Go Nets!